जयं विश्वपाद परमहंस परिज्ञानाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरण अरविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। नित्य लीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोगोपनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा गिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूदले श्रीमदे भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनम मां करुणानिधि कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगम मामुद्धर भवार्णवात् भगवदाघ्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ प्रत्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफलः सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यदा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तदा कुरुष्व देवेश नादस्तं नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनम यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनम प्रणामो दुःख शमन तं नमामि हरिं परम जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्मयादिदरदस् चार्थेष्व विज्ञस्वरा तेने ब्रह्म हृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्दियल सूरया तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा नाम्नास्येन सदा निरस्तगुहकं सत्यं वरं धीमहि धर्म प्रोज्जित गैरवोत्रपरमो निर्मत्सराणां सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तावत्त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणात् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखाद् मृदद्रवसंयुतं पिबत भागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसियाभुविभावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे भावत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमभेदकृत्यं द्वैवाहिनो विरहदादरमज्जुहावम् पुत्रेति तन्मयदयतरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानदोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिल श्रुतिसारमेकम् अद्यात्मदीपमदितितीर्षदां तमोन्दम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनोपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदाकृदाननिन्दोः ममोवाधिविजृम्भदामुरारे मधुरीं न कणिगाभि गावि नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूदले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे दुर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे श्रीमल् गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रज स्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्णशां व्यासं हरिगतोद्गीतं पुनादिभुवनत्रयम् गोपीचरणारविन्द परमानवे नमः पीताम्बरं गर्भिराजशङ्खचक्रं कौमोदकी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वादालेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारग वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म पासदाम्बुरदो मम मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमति राधिकाय नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयम् व्यासेन ग्रहिताम् पुराणमुनिनाम् अध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवति अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वा मनसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायवत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय तोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतगृहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दनाम् पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसच्छानूरमर्दनम् देवही परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटाजयद्रतजला गान्धारनीलोत्पल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामाभिकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सोतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशरोज सरोजमलम् गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटम् ज्ञानाख्यानकेसरम् हरिकदा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोकैः सज्जनशल्पलैरहरः पेलीयमानम् मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूगम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गुम् लङ्घयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातमहम् वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्नन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमोपनिषदैर्वायुन्दियम् सामगाहम् ज्ञानावस्थितद्गतेन मनसा विश्वम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विदुसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द योऽन्तः प्रविश्य मम वाचम् इमाम् प्रसुप्तम् सञ्जीवय तैलशक्तिधरस्वदान्नाम् अन्यांशहस्तचरणश्रवणाम् त्वगादिम् प्राणान्नम् भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यम् भूधर्महद्भ्रियै मा पुरो विभुर्धर्माय शेदय्यतमूषु पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मकम् सोऽलम् कृषिष्ठ भगवान् वचांसि मे प्रह्लादनारदपराशर पुण्डरीक व्यासम्बरीश शुकशौनिक भीष्मदाभ्यान् युक्माङ्गदार्जुन वसिष्ठ विभीषणान्यान् पुण्यानि वान् परमभागवतान् स्मरामि Before we continue with that, where we stopped on the 12th chapter, some things I forgot to mention before. In the 9th chapter, the Shuka Brahmarshi mentioned about the message of churning the milk ocean, isn't it? He said there that the last two verses in the 9th chapter, that is the main message there. The important thing is the 28th and 29th verses in the 9th chapter. So the point is to give up attachment to home, similarly attachment to this body, and attachment to sense enjoyment, it's not easy for anybody. And on the other hand, there is no other alternative also. One has to do this, attachment to home, attachment to the body, attachment to ubhavoga asakti, means sense gratification. All these things, to give it up is not easy. But alternative, there is no other alternative either. And that's why what they are saying is that there are certain ways in which one can overcome this problem. For ordinary people, like all of us, in our practical life, what is possible is what Bhagavatam is saying to us. What is that? This churning milk ocean story, afterwards he gave these two verses, is it not? The 28th and 29th verses. Something like a bhalashodhi for the milk ocean, churning milk ocean, right? So here, you can see both devas and the asuras, both of them, for the same goal, for the purpose of nectar, same time, same place, same actions they have performed. Both of them worked very hard, equally hard. But when the results came, only the devas could get the benefit of the nectar. The demons, asuras, they got the nectar and they snatched it, but even though they got it in their hand, they didn't get the benefit of the nectar. Somehow or the other, it was taken away from them. In other words, the result had come to their hands, but did not get the opportunity to utilize it for themselves. What was the reason? What he said there, that the reason why devas got it, asuras didn't get it. And that's what that verse is saying. Evam surasura jana samadesha kalam hedu artha karma matayobi bhale vigalpaha tatra amrutam surajana phalam anjasapu yal pada pangajara shrayanam na daitya. Main thing is that devas were dependent on Krishna. Taking Krishna's shelter, they worked. Asuras, on the other hand, completely ignored Krishna and they worked in that consciousness, right? Forgetting Krishna means, forgetting is normal. It is in a natural way, it happens to everybody. Here what happened was, openly they disobeyed him. And devas, on the other hand, they were dependent on Krishna. Even though they lost the result, end result, they lost the nectar from their hand, it was snatched off by the demons. And when they were frustrated, still somehow or the other, Krishna managed to bring it back and give it to them. Asuras forcefully snatched the pot, and they were willing to enjoy the result without giving a drop to the devas. But because they didn't have that blessing from Krishna, Krishna's approval was not there. Therefore, what happened was, unusually, they started fighting each other. who should have it first. And on that basis, they started quarreling among themselves. And then Krishna took the form of Mohini and came in front of them, right? And they didn't know Mohini before. Asuras didn't know her. But they dragged Mohini into it. And hearing to Mohini's instructions, they handed over that nectar, pot of nectar to her, and told her that she should serve it to everybody. So you can understand from that the asuras, even though they got the nectar, without any purpose, they started arguing and quarreling each other. At the same time, they met Mohini, whom they have never known her before, and simply by attracted by her beauty, captivated by her beautiful form, suddenly the asuras lost their control of their own mind, and they've forgotten about the nectar, and now they wanted Mohini instead. See how their mind was controlled by Krishna from within. Krishna didn't allow them to think about the nectar anymore, instead pushed them towards Mohini. So when they saw Mohini, they just wanted to enjoy that beauty of her form, and in that process they wanted to please Mohini somehow and handed over the pot of nectar to Mohini, who asuras did that. And that was the end of their effort. They worked hard, they got the nectar, but at the end Krishna from within made them to get attracted to Mohini, and in that process they handed over the nectar to Mohini at the end. So in this way you can see that the result, end result was they didn't get it at the end, right? Because Krishna hasn't given them that, Krishna didn't approve. You can see from this that every karma phalam is Krishna decides for everyone, not only in devas and asuras, but for everybody, the result what we should get according in the karma is dictated by Antaryami inside. They taught themselves that in order that their effort should become successful, it is their effort is sufficient, and we are capable of doing that. There is no need for any special mercy from Krishna, and there is no need for Krishna to interfere. In this way, continuously disobeying Krishna, and asuras taken an attitude in that way, and because they didn't have Krishna's mercy, therefore even though they got the nectar in the hand, they couldn't get the benefit of it. This is what happened. So, on the other hand, devas from the very beginning itself, they were very surrendered to Krishna, and they knew that whatever Krishna says will be for their benefit. They had that faith in him. So you can see that when they told them to hold on to the tail of the snake, they agreed straight away. And they knew that if Krishna is saying something, there must be a reason behind that. So they gave up their false pride and they went and held the tail of the snake, Vasugi. So in this churning of the milk ocean, from the beginning, the middle and the end, all the way through, they trusted Krishna. Whatever Krishna said, they accepted it, right? And for devas also, while they were watching the situation, they lost the nectar. And Asura snatched it. At that time, they went back and told Krishna that this has happened. So, even though they lost it, if Krishna is favorable in life, then problem will be solved at some point. It will be resolved, right? And that is why, to show to us that if Krishna is not favorable, then all our effort will not be successful in life, right? Anyway, because of Krishna's special mercy, they were able to get the nectar back. And dependence on Krishna is more important than the effort. This is the important message from there. Yel pada pangaja raja shrayanam na daitya. Asuras didn't do it and therefore they failed. Shukha Brahmarshi's comment on that. Yeah? Evam sura suragana samadesha kalam hetu artha karma matayobi bhale vigalpaha. Tatra amrutam suragana bhalam anjasapu yat pada pangajara shrayanam na daitya. The main problem was that Asuras didn't depend on Krishna. Devas depended on Krishna. And therefore, they didn't get the benefit. Asuras didn't get the same benefit. So, even if somebody claims that they have so many other benefits in life, what they could claim over others, if there is no acceptance of this, then Krishna is the one who is deciding the karma phalam, or the result of our actions. And with ahankaram, with ego, if one operates, even if you get the results in the hand, you won't be able to utilize it. So, Sri Shukha Brahmarshi is saying in that next verse, Yadyujyade asu vasu karma mano vajobhir de halma jadishu nurbhi adasat pratatvat taireva sal bhavadi yat kriyade apratatval sarvasidat bhavadi mula nishechanam yat. Normally, we all have this problem. This is where this advice given is valid. Ordinary people think this is my home. I am a particular person, my wealth, my wife, my children, my family, my friends, relations. In this way, we have this aham buddhi in the body. And that aham, mamada, ahanda and mamada in the body as well as in the bodily extensions. Aham buddhi in the deham, mamada in the bodily extensions. Aham, mama. Mamada in the bodily extensions, aham buddhi in the body. So, in that process, in order to improve their family life and improve the family conditions, to look after the wife and children and improving the place of residence, and in order to please the relations and friends, people work hard in this world for that, with this understanding. The end result is that at the end you can see every one of them. Finally, it is all distress and disappointment that comes from that. Every family man's life, if you carefully observe that, you can see that it was they feel frustration at the end. Even though they may not agree with that, but the fact is, if you look at their life, you can see that it ends up in this way.
The reason is this Ahamda and Mamada. Because everybody is working in this world depending on Maya. Maya shelter that they are operating, right? So, if we leave Krishna and simply on the basis of Maya, if we operate, all these, that means when we say depending on Maya means, these relationships are coming from Maya. Maya bandham it is, right? And because we operate on that level, all that activities are asat. It is asat because it's based on Maya that everything is done, right? Or inauspicious, right? In the result of that is most of the cases it will be distress at the end and disappointment. It will end up like that. There's nothing you can do about it. Only thing is, if this relationship can be changed in the sense that if it is done on behalf of Krishna's advice, that what devas have done here, if we are willing to live a life in that basis, that everything belongs to Krishna and everything, only Krishna exists here, that means our wealth, family, home and things like that actually belongs to Krishna. Somehow we are put in charge for a temporary period of time. That's all it is. Nothing more than that. And if we accept that position, that it is Krishna's wealth, Krishna's home, Krishna's family members, and in that way everything can be connected with Krishna, and that is what Shukha Brahmarshi's advice is to the householders. In everything, especially with respect to the home, wife and children, family and relations, wealth, in everything to bring Krishna into it. If it is done like that, then that will become satya instead of asatya. If Krishna is in the calculations, yeah? And that doesn't happen normally. It is not normally done. So, satya and asatya is this based on this issue that it is decided. Something is satya or asatya, right? If it is done on that basis, that everything is Krishna's, whether it is home, family, and our own body, everything is Krishna's property, if that understanding is there, then the end result also will be auspicious. Because that will lead into detachment, vairagyam and knowledge. So this connecting things to Krishna is important, and we have to accept that we are just being put in charge temporarily for a short period of time to look after Krishna's wealth. It's not ours, right? So, it is in that principle that all this is spoken, right? So, that is also considered to be a part of Krishna consciousness. Home is to be treated like the temple and to be protected. So all that is, as far as the devotee is concerned, it is Krishna's temple that you are looking after. That's the relationship with the home. So, these are things what is spoken here to become free from griha sakti. Remember the three things what we talked in the beginning.
Yes.
Griha sakti, deha sakti, upaboga sakti. Griha sakti means attachment to the home. Deha sakti means attachment to the body. Upaboga asakti means the propensity to enjoy this body. Consumerism, in other words. Sense gratification, whichever way. Upaboga asakti, it is called. So those things are, out of that, that grihasakti, attachment to the home, the only way to become free from that is by this process, what Shobhamrishi is mentioning here. So, one who has not come to the conclusion that all these things are eventually going to bring distress to me, if he is not convinced on that, then to such a person saying all this thing is useless. It's not going to help. So the question is, first to get convinced that this effort in the family life and these three problems, grihasakti, dehasakti and upavogasakti, all these three things, only when one is convinced about the end result, only to them this advice is given to, not to everybody. First of all, we have to get convinced that our material way of life is going to end up at the end, it's all going to be distress. So many years we lived in this world, family life, children, all that things are there. And if you look at the whole thing at the end, it was a waste of time. That conclusion one has to come to oneself. You may say anything, but if you look at the balance sheet at the end, you have given your time and life for some purpose. In the end, it didn't come out well, very well as you expected. There will be somewhere unhappiness and misery coming from that. It is bound to happen. It cannot be avoided. That is the nature of material life. There is nothing you can do about it. And it is true in everyone's life. Even though some people may not superficially say that it hasn't happened to them, if you observe it carefully, you can see that overall it was not a very profitable deal, business. Yeah. So, but first that conviction has to come that this material way of life, material existence, has been a loss altogether, right? Now, if somebody is not convinced on that, to them you shouldn't say this, because then they should continue with their life. And you can't say anything to them, because somebody decided to act as though they are sleeping. To them, you can't wake them up. You can wake up somebody who is actually sleeping. But if somebody who is pretends or who is giving impression that he is sleeping, and that you cannot do anything about it, right? So, wealth is concerned, actually everything belongs to Krishna, right? And therefore, it has to be handled in that way. Krishna's property, Krishna's wealth. And you can see this, right? Wife, children, family members, other relations, all of them, they didn't come to you according to your plan. From there itself you can see those who come as husband or wife in life, it was not your choice. And same thing with parents also. It was not your choice who the parent should be. Similarly, wife or husband and the children as well. Who had the choice in all these things, right? And same thing with the relations as well. These are all happened because that higher plan from Krishna, Antaryami inside, is making certain decisions for us. And this awareness has to come first within us. When we are not conscious of these things, we do things in a crazy manner, and then when results go well, we think we have done everything, and when the results go fail everything, we think Krishna is not helping us, and this all false conclusions comes to us. But you can see, if you look at your own life, who decided the parents should be? These should be the parents for us before we came here. Same thing with husband-wife. Who decided he should be the husband or who should be the wife? Similarly, who the children should be? Who made the decisions? It's all unknown to us, totally unknown to all these things, right? So from that also you have to come to this conclusion that Krishna has decided these people should stay with you for a certain period of time, as wife or husband or parents or children or grandchildren or whatever it is. Krishna's decision it is that they will stay with you for a certain period of time. And as far as we are concerned, our relationship with them should be on this understanding that as long as they are with us, we have to provide them what is possible for us to do for them. And it is a part of taking Krishna's ruling seriously, Krishna's arrangement, accepting that. It is on that level only it has to operate. That Krishna has put them in there, in these relationships with us. And to that extent only you have to care for them, because it's Krishna has done that. Krishna means all this higher law, what is working in this world. That's also Krishna's another aspect of it, right? So, maintaining home, maintaining the family, and looking after them, all this is a part of Krishna consciousness. It is not something done for our, this separating material life and spiritual life like that, it's not possible. It makes no sense also. There's only spiritual life in this world. Material life happened to be because of the body. It happened in that way, right? So, if it is done like that, that's what he's saying here, that all these things, what you are trying to protect, whether it is home, whether it is family, whether it's your own body, right in front of your eyes, it's getting destroyed one day. It doesn't have any existence anymore. It's gone from you. From there also you can understand that you are not making the decision. Somebody, some other higher law is operating. So if this approach, what Shukha Brahmarshi is talking about, if that's accepted, then you won't feel frustrated at the end of life. As long as you accept this, that everything is Krishna's property, everything is decided by Krishna, and temporarily what Krishna has decided, let that happen in its own way, accepting Krishna's authority. And one has to have this feeling that if Krishna has made some decisions on our behalf, for our what we have to execute in our life, it must be for my benefit. That faith I must have in Krishna's arrangement, right? Whatever he does will be only for my benefit, right? So if this attitude, if we cultivate, that will help. Otherwise it won't, right? So it's not a blind faith in Krishna. When you look at the arrangements, you can see how the system works. Somebody is making some decisions on our behalf. As far as parents are concerned, and then family members are concerned, children are concerned, all aspects of life, if you look, some higher power is making the decision. Our job from our end is only to accept it and go along with it. And taking that higher power is making the decision, it must be for some reason why it's done, right? If we accept it that way, it will help us to get closer to Krishna. Even though materially you may think you are losing this and losing that, spiritually you will get the benefit from that, from this approach. So it will only help us to get closer. And this is why, if we look into Prahlada's teachings, you will find in the 7th canto, certain things Prahlada said, probably we talked about it before, but just to remind that again, in the 7th canto, in the 6th chapter, when Prahlada was instructing his friends, yeah, he says here, the 11th verse, 7, 6, 10, 11, 10th verse, he's saying, Ko anvartha trishnam visrajet pranebhyobhya ipsida yam krenina tasubhi preshta taskara sevako vanik. Prahlad has spoken a little bit. Many people will find it difficult to take it. He is saying there that the wealth is such that it's very dear to everybody, wealth, isn't it? More dear than ever their own life. And people in this world, they do all sorts of things to acquire wealth. Thieving, through business, and various things like that. And in order to develop business, they go to any extent to make money from that. Right? So that means tremendous desire is there to acquire wealth. Right? And it is impossible to give it up. Prahlad is saying, ko anyartha drishtam visraje pranebhyobhya ipsida yam krena tasubhi preshta taskara sevaka vanik. Taskara sevakas and vaniks. We take up services, we do business, and we steal in different ways. People are trying to acquire wealth, right? Then he said, it is impossible to come out of it, this attachment in that way. Next verse, if you look, he said, katham priyayam anugambidayam sangam rakasyam rujidamsya mandran sukhut sija snehasidam shishunam kalacharanam anirakta chitaha. The very nature of this family life is like that. Grihasakti and this attachment to home and family, from all these things to come out, to jump outside that, is difficult, he says. So Prahlad is explaining a little bit more. He says, this knot with which we are tied to all these things, means home, family members, and that's a knot of attachment. It's a knot which cannot be untied very easily, right? For an ordinary person. Reason what he is saying here is that this husband-wife relationship, he says, katham priyayam anugambidayam sangam rahasyam rujiramscha mandran. The attachment is so strong that confidentially they talk to each other, and this association in confidence, right? And the conversation between the husband and the wife, how can that be easily given up for either side, for the husband or for the wife? Both of them will find it very difficult. They couldn't even think of living a life without that relationship. Right? So, asakti, that's what he's saying here. The asakti develops. Asakti means the attachment, right? And that association, husband and wife, and in that association and meeting away from everybody in privacy, asakti will increase. Yeah. So the householder, he feels that he feels compassion for the wife. The man feels compassion for the wife, and man feels very weak about it. And he's saying here, Rujiramscha mandran suhurdsaja snehasida shishunam kalacharanam anirakta chitta. In this confidential association with the husband and wife, asakti will increase here, and this knot will get more and more tightened. And it is impossible for a grihastha to come out of it, right? And similarly, dealings with the friends and the relations. Similarly, apart from that, he is saying here, Shishunam kalaksharanam anirakta chitaha. That small children, the way they spoke, or their beautiful way of conversation, also creates an attachment inside a householder's mind. And a bondage develops from that. Right? To similarly, attachment to the friends also, close friends, to break up all these things and to come out of that griha sakti, it is very difficult. Prahlad is saying here, right? Particularly, children, if you have brought them up, that attachment will increase very strongly, and that attachment will continue to come towards children further. Equally with close friends and relations, right? Also, what he's saying here is that husband and wife, if they are very attached to each other, that bondage will become very strong. In this way, day by day, all relationships with wife, children, husband, and friends and all that will become more and more intense, right? And Prahlad is asking, how will he come out of this? Yeah. Katham priyayam anugambidayam sangam rahasyam rujiramscha mandran suhatsaja snehasida shishunam kala aksharanam anirakta chitaha. Then he said, putran smaramsam duhidar hridayam bradram susarvo pidaramcha dinav grihan manakyo rubaricha damscha vrityamscha kulya pashubhrutya vargan. Thinking about children, particularly those children who are showing a lot of affection towards the parents, it's more with the girls than the boys, and they will show more love and more respect towards the parents. Similarly, brothers and sisters, parents, and all the love attachment they have shown to us in life, for an ordinary householder will find it very difficult to break off from all that. Similarly, their words, what they have spoken, and equally the house he's talking about, which has got all the comforts and facilities at home, what one has organized in one's life. How can a householder break up all these things and come out from that? So, and apart from that, children, brothers and sisters, all other relatives, they have poured a lot of love and affection on you in life, and there is a rope of attachment there between them as well, and it is impossible to break away from that. That's what Prahlad is saying here. Putransparam sam duhidar hridayam bradam sasarvo pidaroja dino manon parinyo ubrishadamsha vrityamsha gulya pashu vrityavargan tejeda koshaskriti vehamanam karmani lobhat avidrutta kama augustya jaihyam bahu anyamanam katham virajya duranda moha. Next verse. He is saying there that the cocoon which makes this clothing for that thread, what it makes from that, it gets tied out within that rope itself, within that thread itself, right? And because its attachment to that thread, what came from its body, it gets stuck in that, and that is what later on turns into the, which we use for making the cloth, right? Similarly, augustyam jahyam means that due to arthakamam, acquiring wealth and gratifying the senses, due to that we will go into the world to do in karmam, engaging in karmam. And that karmam binds us very strongly, which we are not aware of, mainly for two reasons, upastham, jihwa. Upastham and jihwa, for the tongue and the genitals, right? So, this kamam, lobham, avastha jehim, humanyamanam, kadam virajeda durandamoham, that it is, that's all what is keeping this householder life going. Those two things, right? So, in order to acquire wealth, people go to an extent to acquire wealth for fulfilling these desires. Due to that bhoga asakti, we spoke about three asakti, griha asakti, deha asakti, bhoga asakti. Three asaktis, right? So this bhoga asakti, due to that fulfilling our sense gratification, and which requires wealth, and therefore we will go in the wrong ways of acquiring wealth, right? In this way, jihwa and upastham, tongue and the genitals, and acquiring wealth, in this way we get bound in the material existence, right? So this arthakamam, asakti for artham and kamam, and when one is busy with that, one is completely absorbed in that, how can he develop any vairagyam in that situation, right? So, even if there is a lot of reversals happens in life, everybody gets reversals in life, is it not? You are working according to your plan, but the plan gets broken somewhere. Everything changes, right? So, even though many reversals happens in life, he won't open his eyes and look at it properly, right? This ubhoga asakti will, it is like a dust which is gone into his eyes, and he won't be able to open the eyes and to see the life properly, right? So, due to that, he loses his power of discrimination, and therefore, he is not able to realize that these reversals are happening in life due to my own attachment to sense gratification. And he is also not able to see that he is caught up in this hard knot of material attachment. So, he is not able to recognize any of these things. This is the reality, is like that. In material life, it is like that. Very difficult to wake them up from their situation. So, ultimately they get caught up in that, and then it goes on for a while. It doesn't matter who it is, it happens to all people. And that is why, finally, when they have to leave the body, that's when they think about it. What did I do in this world all these years? And you feel that you have lost a lot of things, especially the time. And Krishna is repeatedly reminding us, I've given this body for self-realization. You have lost that. That means you have completely forgotten Krishna. That goal is gone completely from the mind. And we got busy with so many other things, which ended up at the end in frustration. So therefore, he is saying, because of this only, Prahlad was saying, because of all this only, Prahlad was saying, Kaumara Ajanet Pratyaha. We should start very early in life, not at a later date. Right? So, this basic thing is responsibility of the parents to give it to the children, this awareness of life. But schools and colleges are concerned, it's only for a job, nothing more than that in life. To get some work, to earn some money, and don't expect anything from the schools and colleges in all this aspect of life, right? Children don't get an opportunity to understand all this from the schools and colleges, right? This has to be imparted to them from home. It cannot be done from outside, right? So this Atmiya Vasana, or Vasana for spiritual life, If it's not born in the early life, then it is very difficult later, right? If this spiritual culture didn't go in the early days, then they will only take the other alternative, which is the material life. That's the only option left. But if they got some of it at the early days in life, then even in their material life, they ran after some sense gratification. They will not completely get trapped in that. Due to that, they have some foundation inside of a spiritual culture inside them. Sometime in life, it will come back in them, the need for a spiritual life. So, in that case, they will continue their material life and possibly they will do some sadhana of their own. Inside it will be there working behind in the mind, right? Provided it was given to them when they were children. So that is why Prabhupada is insisting that there. It should start early in life, not later. You can see that in the society also. When they start later on, it becomes very difficult for them. So this concept that spiritual life is all for retired people, or only after retirement you have your spiritual life, that's wrong. That's not the right thing. So if it is done like that, one day they also finish their material life, material way of life, and they have a chance that they will turn back into spiritual life again. So this question is asking here, that Prahlad's words are very strong. He says, Kudumba poshaya viyan nijayur na buddhyadartham vihatam pramatta sarvatra tabatraya dukhi dalpa nirvidyayasa kudumba rama. He says, someone who lives only for the sake of maintaining a family, and he spends all his valuable human form of life for that purpose, he is not aware that he has lost the chance, what Krishna has given to him. And even though he is completely tossed between the three kinds of miseries, adhyalpiyam, adhibhaudhiyam, adhidevigyam, even though he is going through them constantly, because there is getting some little pleasure from this home life, he is not able to give up the attachment. That's what he is saying here. So, this materialistic nature develops early in life. That is where the support is required. Later on, if there is no spiritual culture inside, then it is very difficult to come back to it again at a later date. It is an early days what gone in will work. That is Prahlad's strong opinion about it, right? And suppose they didn't get it, what will happen? What is saying there? That the interest in the spiritual life has not developed inside. At the same time, no interest in inquiring also about it. And this bhoga vasana, sense gratification, is burning inside even at the old age. So in such situation, it will be very difficult for them to pull the mind away from the world. to withdraw the mind from the world, right? So, but those children who get it early in life, one who has got that opportunity, he will somehow or the other at some stage in life, he will come back from that and he will take some point in time in life, take to Ishvara Vasana, Krishna consciousness. He'll come back to him. So that's what he's talking about it here. Kudamba poshaya viyanijayo na buddhyadertam vihatam pravatta sarvatra thapatraya dukhidalma nirvidyadeyasa kudumbarama. Kudumbaraman means, you know what that means. Householder who is always busy with the home. Kudumbaraman. Parashuram is there, Shri Ram is there, Balram is there, and Kudumbarama is also there. So, they're all Ramas. The only thing is, this is Kudumbarama story, right? This Grihastha who is a Kudumbarama, he does not understand this, right? he feels it at the last minute when he's on the deathbed, when he has to leave this world. Right? What we have to achieve in life, that opportunity, I have lost it. And he is not even able to realize it in the deathbed. Right? Because he was a Kudumbarama whole life. Right? He lived as a Kudumbarama. So, when we are busy with Kudumba Poshanam, he says this, Kudumba Poshaya. Kudumba Poshanam means maintaining the family, looking after the family. If this is the only business in life, how our lifespan is running out, Grahastha does not know that. And he just forgets that a golden opportunity which Krishna has given this human body, and we got an opportunity to achieve the highest goal of life, which is self-realization, right? And I have lost that chance, and this thought does not come to him even at the time of death while he's leaving this body. Even at that moment, it doesn't happen, right? So, not only that, not that he could not, he lost the opportunity to take Krishna consciousness. By now, the youthful body has gone. Senses have become useless. So, and the youth body and youthful body, it cannot, that was all wasted in sense gratification. And he is lying there in the deathbed, ready to leave the body, right? So, human life Krishna has given for realizing the truth. But he didn't try. In this way, he wasted his life. And these three kinds of miseries, Adhyalpiyam, Adibhaudiyam, Adidevigam, he, in spite of all those miseries, he somehow tries to keep it going. From the day he got married and right up to the day he leaves, right? So, what basically he is saying here, Prahlada has spoken many things in that instructions. This, he is talking to the boys who are of the same age like him. Vitesho nitya bhinivishta cheda vidyamscha dosham parivritta hartum pratyeha chede ajendriyasya dashanda kamo harade kudumbi. The situation of a householder, he is talking about it. And their boys, Prahlad's age, they are talking to each other about the householder. So, these disturbances, aswas, ashandi, where is it coming from? why are they so unhappy that they are not able to think, right? So the advice is, now and then householder should withdraw from everything and remain aloof from the environment of householder life, and give some time to reflect on life, for householder particularly spoken. Householder life is only not for acquiring money and engaging gratification of the senses, right? It is meant for self-realization and also an opportunity to get Krishna's mercy in life, right? That is why it is advised always that householders should now and then move away from the family environment and give some time to reflect on life. It's not required for a brahmachari and a sannyasi. It is required for the householder to move away from that family environment and to think about life in a little independently, rather than seeing the whole thing as one unit all the time. So, and that generally it is said that householder should look at life in a different way, in the sense he must be able to recognize what is temporary and what is permanent. Nityam anitya vastu vivegam. To notice that, is this all permanent, what I have got with me now? Are they going to stay? And that way he should train his mind to think in that direction, between the temporary and the permanent. And we know very well that everything what we have got outside us, including this body, has come one day, stays for some time, and it will go. It won't stay. If the body won't stay, what to talk about the rest of the things? Body itself won't stay. It has come one day, stays with us for some time, and one day it leaves us and go. Equally, if body won't stay, what to talk about all other things? Home, family, children, and all that, right? So, this thought should come into a householder's mind often and start realizing that what is permanent in this world, there is nothing there, including this body is not permanent. Yeah? But one who is inside all of us, as Antaryami, Krishna, which is our actual identity, that's the only reality in all these things, nothing else. And he is present as Antaryami, as a witness to everything, and it is because of his presence that we are experiencing this body, experiencing this world, everything. In that sense, he is the drashta and everything else is drishyam, including this body, right? So, this body itself is drishyam, it is, yeah? I'm seeing this body now, and we have a very short period of life in this world. 60, 70, 80 years old, right? But after that, this body has no existence. But permanently inside this body is that awareness, bodham, satya chitta anandam, Krishna. And that is where all the happiness what we are getting in life is coming from, whatever we are getting, right? This sense enjoyment, what we make a big deal out of it, isn't it, in this world? What is it all about, right? Even that comes from Antaryami, Anandam, right? But unfortunately, we are not able to understand it, how that Anandam comes from the soul. But misunderstanding comes easily. We think that happiness is coming from the sense objects. And that is that what he is calling as Duranda Moha. Duranda Moham. Yeah? That Moham disturbs the mind, yeah. And moham is like this. When any gratification happens, sense gratification in life, after it is experienced, that is when that anandam comes from that. You have to think about it, only then you will understand it, what Bhagavatam is saying, right? Senses go to sense objects, right? And then what it creates is layam vichevam. Vichevam is the sense objects, connection with the sense objects, right? When we have sense gratification, anything for that matter, doesn't matter what it is, at that time, for a short period of time, the mind becomes free from these two things, layam and vichevam, right? It is at that time a very, very, very minute amount of happiness or anandam comes from the soul. That means soul is the source of all happiness in creation. There is happiness that is only in the soul, not in the dead matter or in the gross body. Whatever experience we get it, I became happy in life at some point, in some time, whatever gratification I got it from, if I felt any kind of happiness, even though it is for a very short period of time, that happiness has come from the soul, right? And that is what is called as the Vishayanandam, anandam from sense objects, right? So, you can observe at that time, this is analysis of the way the mind is working, right? When a desire is fulfilled, that is when anandam is coming. That means when a desire is fulfilled, anandam is coming, right? It's not when you have the desire, you have the anandam. Suppose I had some desire, and at that time, mind is not having any peace inside. Instead, when the desire is fulfilled, it is after that I get a certain happiness from that, right? And this upashamam, what is it called? Upashamam means when the desire gets moved away, eradicated from the mind, at that time, mind comes to a state called neither layam nor vichevam. Layam vichevam is the two nature of the mind. These two things don't exist at that time. And at that moment, this anandam, bliss, what we talk about, comes from the soul. A very small part of it. And that is what is called Vishayanandam, sense gratification. Yeah? So, in that happiness when it comes, if the mind, what it felt, that anandam, if it gets from continuously, then the situation will change. Yeah. For example, sadhana, spiritual sadhana, right? It should be done in a way that it should be continuous. That means I do one day and another day I do something else. And then another day when it suits me, I do it again. That's not spiritual life. Spiritual life means this sadhana what we do, it should be done on a regular basis, continuously, right? If there is someone who has there to help you and guide you in life, that is according to that you should act. But as much as if it has become a daily habit, then it will help the mind to become more focused in that, yeah? And a little bit, mind will become more inward, in that way. Mind will be develop that nature to go deeper, right? So at that time you will see that there is a certain happiness that comes from the deeper level, and that one will experience oneself, right? Even he is in his normal life in this world. Those who are practicing sadhana, they will get it at some point. Certain amount of happiness that comes from the soul. Yeah. So, that anandam, what he is talking about, will give you an indication that permanent happiness is inside. It's not outside. From outside you won't get it, right? And once you get that experience, then you will become little bit more serious about it. Spiritual life, right? And according to the one's own sadhana one does and the experiences he gets, he will come to the conclusion that proper shanti or peace or anandam is only in Antaryami, only in Krishna, right? And that is our Krishna, that is Krishna's Swarupam, right? And this has to come at some stage in spiritual life, right? So this ability to discriminate between temporary and the permanent, that's an important requirement, whether you are following the Jnana Margam or you are following the Bhakti Margam, either way. Ability to discriminate the temporary and the permanent in this world, and able to keep that focus inside. And with the help of that understanding, now and again, one should try to withdraw from this material way of life, materialistic way of life, and develop that connection with Krishna. And one should make the opportunity for that. Sometimes, if one is bogged down by material life too much, he has to ask Krishna, Antaryami inside, to help to bring it down to the level of involvement in the world, high degree of involvement in the world, right? So, this is how a householder should live in this world. He has to always safeguard, he has to protect his own spiritual life being destroyed by the world outside. So, if you read the history of the great personalities and their memories of their spiritual life, you will find this. This is their approach in life. Yeah. So, studying such literature and similarly studying Shastram, Vedam, Gayatri, all these things are like Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all of them should be read regularly and feel inspired from that to keep this spiritual life going. So, yeah, there is this story of a person who was closely associated with Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, Mahendranath Gupta. He met Ramakrishna only once in life, early in life, right? But from his association, he developed such deep understanding about spiritual life from him. And always he thought about him throughout his life. And he wrote about his life later on through that book, famous books, right? So, Prabhupada said here that due to desire for wealth, someone will go to any extent in life. Vitteshu nitya binivishta cheda vidyamsya dosham paramitta harto paityeha jala ajayendriyasta ashanda gamo harade kudumbi. And this arthasakti, attraction for money, is such, it's burning inside. And with the result is that, in order to fulfill that and to acquire more things in this world, there is no other way except you have to do certain things which may not be appropriate, right? If you want to acquire a lot of things in life to enjoy, then you require wealth for that, and it becomes a disease later that you have to keep on accumulating wealth. It does not leave you because you are not able to see the reality behind it. And when that desire grows inside strongly, then some stage in life it will come to this extent that the money may be acquired in the wrong means as well, right? And that's when he's saying here that paravitta hartho, thinking about stealing from others, right? So, if it is stolen, then there will be punishment for that, and other kinds of torture will come. And when we leave this world, we may not get another body for spiritual life. It may be for a lower species, right? So that's why Prabhupada is saying strongly there not to think in that direction here. Because for a person who has got such desires, vairagyam won't come easily. So he's concluding that in the next verse. Vidwana vitam dhanija kudumbam pushnansa lokayana kalpadevai yas sviya parakya vibhinna bhavam tama pramadhyena yadha vimutha. All these asura boys who are with him, he's telling them that one who is only busy with family life, he may know everything, all these things, but he is not qualified for spiritual life. That is Prahlad's opinion. Prahlad says, my dear friends, he says that one who is always busy with family life, such a person, even though he may know all these things, he is not qualified for self-realization or spiritual life, because in him there is this yasviya parakya vibhinna bhavam. Sviya parakya vibhinna bhavam tama pramadhyada yadha vimutha. Because even though he knows all these things, because he has got Veda buddhi in him, and therefore he becomes tamogunam, overpowers him, takes over, right? So all these things are known, and what Prahlad has spoken, if you give time and think about it, it will all make sense also, what he said, right? So sometimes you get people that they understand things, all these things, what is spoken there. And they have studied the Shastram also. And he has got a reasonable intelligence also. But if this kudumba poshanam, what he said here, kudumbam pushnan solokayana kalpadevai, if he has accepted that the family life alone is the whole purpose of this life, he may not be able to come out of it. Even though he knows all these things, what is spoken is true, and he can understand it, what he's saying, in his own life. But because this kudumba poshanam is in the top of the list in his mind, he will not be able to free himself from that, right? So, there is a comparison given there those who are very learned, but at the same time those who want to continue with their material happiness, compared to the eagles, right? Eagles, they fly in a very high altitude, they fly, isn't it, compared to all other birds. Other birds, 100 feet, 200 feet, they fly. Eagles will fly thousands of feet higher level, they'll fly, right? But even though they are flying so high, their eyes are always on the dead body, lying somewhere. So this is how they are compared to. That they have the knowledge, then they have the understanding, they read the Shastram, they have the good intelligence. But in spite of that, they cannot come out of it. And they are like the eagles because of that. Eagles fly high, but they can only from such a high altitude, all they can see is the dead body that is lying here. Because that's all what they are looking for. This is what it is compared to. Similarly, these people, they talk big things, but their eyes are always on money and the gold and fulfilling the sense enjoyment, right? So, why is it so spoken like this? We study Shastram for what purpose? To get a direction in spiritual life, isn't it? Direction means sadhana marga. Which way I should go, whether I should go through jnana margam, yoga margam, bhakti margam, or to get some clarity within ourselves. That's why we study Shastram, to change ourselves and to get a opening in some way to proceed further, next step, what to do, right? And it is not possible to make the whole thing practical in a day or two. It's not going to happen, right? And when you study Shastram, there may be many things which are not completely practical straight away, right? But if the knowledge is inside, gradually, step by step, things will happen to become favorable for opening up and get that determination to engage in spiritual life forever, to completely absorb in spiritual life, right? Instead of that, simply getting stuck in the family life and thinking that jihwa ubhastam, the tongue and the genital satisfaction alone, if you spend the life, whole life in that way, ultimately material existence won't leave us. This material existence is our bondage, right? Material existence means what? Thinking that I am this body, and connection with this body and the bodily extensions, and home, and this is all very deep inside. And to break away from that is not very easy. And that's what he is saying here. Whether you are a very learned person or you are not, is a dull person, if you try very hard to become free from this gratification, and if you don't try, the chances are that you will fall further into it, right? Everything will show that is the very nature of material life. Like fire, you get closer to it, it will get the heat, right? And if you put a hand in the fire, it will get burned. So that is the nature of the fire. Similarly, while handling the fire, so you have to be careful, right? Similarly, material happiness also is like that. And while engaged in this materialistic activities, one has to take care that this attraction for enjoyment does not build up inside. This is the problem with the sense gratification. Any sense gratification, doesn't matter. In material life, if we get absorbed in that, this tendency to enjoy builds up inside within us, right? So that is why they are insisting that one should conduct material life in this way, that as though it is for Krishna's pleasure, it should be done. So that it doesn't build up further desires inside. Look at the next verse. Yedona kachil koja kutra jidwal.
దీనస్వమాల్పానమలం సమర్థ విమోచితం కామదృశాం విహార క్రీడామృగోయం నిగడో విసర్గ. One has to come to this conclusion that Maya is this. This is Maya, that propensity to enjoy life, right? And nobody can get out of it so easily from that, right? Well, especially with one's own effort, it is not possible. And that's what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. Maya is not difficult to overcome. On your own, it is Devikesha Gunamai. So, take shelter. That's Krishna's advice also. Take my shelter, he said. Isn't it? Devi Maam evaye prabhadyande, Maya medam tarantite. So, this has to be, this verse, 17th verse, you have to connect that with the 18th verse. And that's how you will see that together. How man get victimized, equally applicable to women also, in the same way, due to bodily attractions, each other, right? Actually, householder life, grihastha ashramam, is like a chain that is put on the legs. Somebody has put some chain on your legs, right? And it is difficult to break that chain and come out of it, right? And he's saying here that that is a chain that gets extended further with the further members in the family coming in, and they become that extension of the chain, right? So that's what he's talking about, that somalpanam alam samarthaha. On your own, it will be very difficult to break away from that. Vimojidam kamadrisham vihara krida mrgoyam nigado visarga. By your effort alone, it will be very difficult to come out of this, right? Why? Because grihasakti means bhogasakti. That's the way it is. Grihasakti means bhogasakti, right? And bhogasakti creates dainyada. Dainyada means it creates helplessness in us. Once that bhogasakti takes over, you become very helpless in life, right? Due to that, what they call the verse is bhoga lempadattvam. Lempadattvam means that deep attachment to sense enjoyment, right? You lose your power of discrimination and grihastha becomes very weak in everything. You can see when you talk to sometimes to people that attachment to the wife or attachment to the husband overrules everything else. And that's very difficult to break away from that. Yeah. So here it is said as though woman is responsible, it is said. But it is not spoken in that way to condemn women as responsible for that. It's other way also, it is equally applied. Basically what it means is attachment for sense enjoyment. For the man it's woman, for the woman it's man. So equally they are both victimized by this. That's what Prahlad is saying there. Not trying to say that one woman is responsible for all the problems of the man. Not that way. What he's saying is that this attraction to each other drags both of them down in spiritual life. People sometimes will say women are responsible for the fall down of the men. Like we say about sometimes someone falls off, sannyasis or gurus or something, when we say like that. What it means is, this mutual attraction
is responsible for anyone's fall down. So that's what basically Prahlad is saying here. And one thing he mentioned there, that yadona kuschit kuja kutra chidval dina, he becomes, dainyada comes to him. Dainyada means a sort of helplessness. What shall I do? I can't do anything about it. That approach. Swam alpanam alam samarthaha vimojinam kamadrisham vihara kridam ragoya nikado visarga. What happens is, this bhogalambatatvam, which means this attraction for gratification, he loses all, he becomes very weak inside, and he loses all power of discrimination even. Even the right things, when spoken, it's not going in to that person's mind. He's not able to connect with it, right? So, because of this bhoga asakti, due to that he has lost his health and his power to discriminate and even the power of thinking. He loses that, chinda shakti, right? So in this way it becomes a chain on the legs, is put on the chain, and that is grihasthashramam, he is saying here. So, and it is difficult to take him out of that maya, what is affecting him. Therefore, he again stresses this point from an early age itself, and with the help of the spiritual master, one should develop that strength and knowledge what is required. That's the only way to come out of it, he's saying here. If you look at the next verse, Tato vidurad parihartya daityam daityashu sangam vishayatmageshu upeta narayanam adidevam samukta sangai shidopa vargaha. So Prahlad said to his friends, take shelter of Krishna. And he knows they are asuras, aren't they? All of them are asuras. Asuras means, actually, we must not get affected by this discrimination. Why? Because this discussion. Because devas, asuras, manishyas. Yeah? Devas means goodness. Manishya means rajogunam, rajas. Asura means more tamogunam. This is what is based on that, this classification, these three. Devas, asuras and manishyas is based on these three modes of nature. We must not think devas are living somewhere else, manishyas are living here, asuras are living somewhere. That's not how you understand this. It will come later, more detail, right? Basically what he's saying, if in someone this deva nature is there strongly, he will survive somehow, spiritually he will survive. If asuric nature is in someone strongly, the chances that he will become destroyed in the process. The one who is in the rajoguna, right in the middle between these two, which is, when they make this statement that human species have got more rajoguna, what it means is, it's a general statement. It should not be taken that all human beings are with rajoguna. Human beings also, there are people in human beings who have got sattugunam in them strongly, much stronger sattugunam, and they are devas. And similarly in human beings, those who have got this propensity for enjoying nature, that is the asuric nature, isn't it? Krishna discusses this in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam, these three modes of nature, gunatraya vibhagam. So if you understand that, he explains in Bhagavatam in detail about it, much later, to Uddhava, that how the gunam in a person molds him in his behavior is based on the gunam inside of a person's gunam inside will mold that person to act in a particular way. So, if Sattvagunam is controlling him all the time, there are certain symptoms in a person which will give you an understanding that Sattvagunam is controlling him, and automatically his attention will be towards spiritual life. Sattvika dhyalpiki shraddha. And similarly, if Rajogunam is controlling a person, that person will be very serious about his karma. Karma will control him. Karma shraddha tu rajasi, it says. So, there's a whole discussion there later on, will come that. But when the modes of nature are controlling us, if we understand that, this is not for judging others, it's for judging ourselves, oneself, what this is all spoken in Bhagavatam. Not to look at somebody else and say, oh look, he is in Sattvagunam, he is in Rajogunam. No. The idea is, if I know about myself, what my nature is, then there is some possibility of trying to change that nature, which is ingrained in me. If it is Rajogunam strongly inside, there is a possibility that I should know how to change, move into Sattvagunam, more than go into Tamogunam or increase the Rajogunam. Right? So, this discrimination, and here Prahlad is talking to his friends who are all mostly asuras. That means Tamogunam and Rajogunam is stronger in them. And the important thing to remember is asuras and rakshas are closer together. And they have this Rajogunam and Tamogunam in them. Rajogunam to a very higher degree in asuras and Tamogunam to a large degree in rakshasas. So the asuric and rakshasic nature are always together. They are always dragging the Sattvagunam down. Sattvagunam has to fight the other two, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Sattvagunam has to fight Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Whereas Rajogunam and Tamogunam, they work hand in hand. They work together. You see, they are friends, each other. They help each other. And it is always like that. And because of that, most of the time, people in Sattvagunam will suffer in this world. That's the way it is. Krishna says that. If you have Sattvagunam, you will suffer in this world. Because the other two will gang up all the time and will drag you down. They will not allow you to find a peaceful existence. Sattvagunam's nature is shanti, knowledge, enlightenment. These things are nature of the Sattvagunam. Rajogunam's nature is disturbed mind, always engaged in karma, activities, and aishwaryam, opulence lifestyle. All these desires, where is it coming from? It comes from the Rajogunam. This desire to have a lot of wealth, live a very opulent way of life, lavish life, and sense gratification. And in that process, the disturbed mind, because of that. It is a very nature of Rajogunam is like that. So if one knows that this is my nature, he should be more careful about it than not to go in that direction further. Whereas if he is thinking that this is, I've done this, I've done that, this is all coming from Rajogunam. Rajogunam creates this feeling in a person that about a sense of achievement in life. I've achieved so many things. Nobody has achieved anything here. Everything you do, one day and you're leaving this place. What's achievement here? But all that is a nature of the Rajogunams while studying Rajogunam. Similarly, Tamogunam means a hopeless state where one gets, become revengeful and wants to fight and engage in destructive activities. That's all the nature of Tamogunam. So these Rajogunam, Tamogunam, you can see how they increase in the world and influence big people even. And when they are under the control of that, they also don't know what to do about it. First of all, they don't understand these three modes of nature, how it works, right? Secondly, when they are in the modes of nature, because of lack of knowledge about it, they get affected by that particular mode which is controlling them. I'm talking about big men, big leaders of this world. How it drags them, and they become victimized by the very mode of nature which is controlling them. So, remember this, that Sattvagunam is always on his own. He won't get any help from anybody. Rajogunam and Tamogunam will gang up together and he will try to destroy the one in Satugunam. So Satugani person will suffer a lot in this world. Very difficult to live in a positive, in a spiritual environment and conduct a life favorable for spiritual life. That is very difficult. But does that mean that we should give up spiritual life? No. Because Krishna is saying there that it is only the one in Satugunam will escape from this misery. Others will continue coming back again and again and again and continue with the misery. So Krishna's advice, that's why you will see so many places in the Bhagavatam, Krishna talks about this Satugunam as the only option for making that spiritual life a success, that the importance of Satugunam. And that is what here also. So he said here, Upeda Narayana Madhi Devam Samukta Sangai Ishidopa Vargaha. Right? Narayana, Krishna, is the ultimate shelter for everyone. And particularly, Daityeshu Sangam Vishayatmageshu. For the asuras like you and me, he says, Prahlada is saying to them, that we are daityas, asuras we are. And vishayam, sense gratification, is our nature in us, very strongly, right? So, but upeda narayanam adidevam vimukta sangai shidobavargaha. So, and getting back to Krishna is the only way to come out of this, right? So, having said that, he says to them that to escape from this maya, all these three modes are maya only, isn't it? Sattugunam, Rajagunam, Tamagunam is all maya. And we have to get out of it. But with Rajagunam and Tamagunam, no chance. The only way left is to come to Sattugunam. In Sattugunam, it is possible to escape from that. That's the way the relationship is. If one is in Sattugunam, it is possible to get out of this maya. So, therefore, he is giving this advice that association with Krishna, devotees, and become free from the all other attractions for material life, and do not think that you are children. Therefore, how can we develop a relationship with Krishna? Don't think like that. And that is why he is saying in the next verse, if you look, you see, na yachudam prenayato bahva yaso asuralmaja almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatvadiha sarvada. He says, Krishna can be pleased, but because first thing is that Krishna is there in everybody, in sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, in asuras, daitya, rakshasas, and in the manishas, all devas, all of them. Krishna is present inside in everyone. And therefore, he is very dear to all. And you don't have to go anywhere else looking for him. This is an important verse. Almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatvadiha sarvada. Right? We go to temples, we go to ashrams, and we go to holy places, holy rivers, and all that, thinking that Krishna is only present there, right? So, but Prahlad's advice is, more than anywhere else, Krishna is present within your own heart as Antaryami, right? As the very soul of everyone, and all what is required is turn your attention towards him, to Antaryami, right? There is nothing else required. Instead of allowing the senses to go to sense objects, and instead, if you turn inwards the senses and enjoin them towards the, join the mind and the senses towards Antaryami inside. And this required anusandhanam. Anusandhanam means able to withdraw from the world and to turn the attention towards the Antaryami, Krishna inside, right? So for that purpose, chanting the holy name, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and Smarana. It will flow like that. Ultimately, what will happen is, if one is absorbed in that way, eventually the mind will disappear in the Antaryami. Mind will go and disappear in the Antaryami, and one will experience him at that time as his very self, and that is liberation. Yeah. So that is what Shukha Brahmarshi also said, is it not, in the beginning. Tasmat Bharata Sarvalpma Bhagavan Haririshwara Shrotavya Kirtidavyascha Smartavyascha Chadabhaya. So this is the sadhana process, what Bhagavatam is talking about. Shravanam, Kirtanam, everything should lead to Smaranam at the end. Inward going inside, and that Smarana, continuous remembrance of Krishna, and continuous remembrance of Krishna's instructions to us. Right. So, the other things like deity worship, visiting the holy places, performing this homam, what they do in occasions, right? All this is actually done for the purpose of this smarana, in order to get the smarana inside. So, if by doing all that, if you are getting smarana, then it is good. By doing this kind of homam, yagam, yajnam, and things like that, and whatever we do externally, if it is all helping to create the smarana inside, then it is beneficial, right? So, but if it is not creating that smarana inside, if it is just done as a kriya, then it is a waste of time. This is Shukha Brahmarshi's opinion, right? So, gradually turning the attention in this way and realizing that the closest place where you can make a contact with Krishna is within the mind, within ourselves, within the Antaryami inside. That is the most important thing, because in Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna discusses deity worship, he says there, for whom is this deity worship? Who needs a deity worship? And there is a lot of things he has spoken there in the 11th canto, 27th chapter, right? Ultimately, all that is for directing the mind inward, to go inside, yeah? But if that's not happening, then this worship also will not help, he said. He gives an extensive process of worship there. So, but he mentions there that those who cannot see Krishna's presence inside Antaryami and not able to connect with him, he needs it to start from outside somewhere. So we'll talk about it a few minutes later. Chedodarpanam arjanam bhaumaha dhavadinirvapanam chayakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam budivada purnamradaswadhanam sarvatna subhanam varam vijayare shri krishna sankirtanam namna magari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatra arpita nevila smarnena kala edadrishi tava kripa bhagavan mamami durdeva mehrishamihachani nanuragaha trinaravishuni jena tadoravi samishtuna amani nama anadena kirtaniya sada hari Nayanam Najanam Sundarim Kavidamba Jagati Shakamani Mama Janmani Janmani Shari Bhavadar Bhaktira Hari Dugitvai Ai Nandana Nuja Kingaram Ramam Shami Bhavam Bodo Payatava Pada Pankaja Siddha Duli Sadasham Vijindaya Nayanam Gadada Shudharaya Vadanam Gadgadarubdhaya Gira Pulagair Vijidam Gada Bhavutavan Namagrahane Bhavishyari Nibhayam Nimeshena Chachusha Pravishayam Shunyayam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Grahe Rame Ashlesha Vapadaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Namaham Karotuva Yathadava Vidaladulam Vado Malpranam Adhasuna Yevana Kara Sarvatra Govinda Sangirtanam Govinda Govinda. So Prahlada said to the boys, asuras, Nehachudam Prenayado Bahwayaso Asuradmaya Almatwal Sarvabhodanam Siddhatwaliha Sarvada. It says that in the earlier, like he said in the verse before, Upayata Narayanam Adidevam Vimukta Sangha Shudopa Varga, that how Achyuta is pleased, Krishna is pleased. He's explaining that. How does Krishna get pleased? Right. So, continuously, if senses not going to the sense objects, and through the process of Shravanam Kirtanam in that way, with Bhakti Yogam process it is possible, and it may take time, but Shravanam Kirtanam must lead to Smaranam at the end. So, in that way, if it happens, he says, it is not difficult to please Krishna. Nahya chudam prina yado bahuayaso asuralmaja. Why? Because Almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatvadiha sarvada. This is the most important statement. Almatval sarvabhudanam siddhatvadiha sarvada. He is present in everybody. So there is no need to look for him outside anywhere. He is present in everyone. And when you look outside with the eyes open, Krishna is present everywhere. How do we know that? Because every time when you look at something and you find that it exists. If you get that feeling of existence of so many things, that sat aspect is the proof of Krishna's presence in the world. Where did that reality come from for the object? That reality didn't come from me, didn't come from the object either, but Krishna's presence in the object is the impact on us in the form of its existence. Krishna, who is present in the object, his existence in the presence in the object is felt by us within inside of Krishna. It is supposed to teach us that way. Right? So, this thing that vastu, any object for that matter, has no reality. Vastu has no reality, right? How do we know? Because if it is real, it should stay forever as it is. But the fact that it is changing shows that it is not real. So, they give this example in the Bhagavatam a lot, the clay pot. It doesn't have any existence of its own. Yesterday it was clay, today it is a pot, tomorrow it will become clay again. So therefore, it doesn't have an existence which doesn't change. It is a changing nature. That's what it is, right? So, therefore, from that example, the conclusion is that it is mithya. Pot is mithya, right? Then how did I feel that it exists, the pot exists? That's because Krishna's presence in the pot. So, in everything in this creation, Krishna is present there in everything, right? And when we talk about Krishna here, Krishna who is with Maya, Brahman with Maya, is the cause of this creation, right? Sachidananda Brahman with Maya is the cause of this creation. In creation there is Sachidanandam is there, Maya is also there. And what we perceiving in the world is what we are perceiving through the senses only. That is the Maya part of it. That's the only thing you are perceiving through the senses, right? But they are called Namarupam. And Namarupam does not have a permanent existence. It's continuously changing. And so the conclusion is that what Maya is presenting in front of us, what Maya is presenting in front of us, which we are perceiving through our five senses, they are all mithya. They are all mithya. This is to be understood first, that the mithya means it doesn't have an existence of its own. It is constantly subject to change. Everything, including this body, and therefore it is mithya. Body is mithya. So is the world outside is mithya, because it's constantly changing. And looking into Krishna's definition of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, Chatushloki as well as the second chapter verses, you have to agree with this point. Krishna's point is that everything that is changing is mithya. If it is changing, it's mithya. And there is only one thing that doesn't change, that is the awareness, bodha, consciousness inside soul. Mithya, then if it is all mithya, why do I feel that they are real, that they exist, right? And that is coming from Sachidananda Brahman. That is why Sachidananda Brahman with Maya is this creation. The reality of this creation, what you are experiencing, is coming from the Sachidananda side. And the mithya side is coming from Maya. Mithya side is coming from Maya. So this namam rupam, name and form, it has covered Sachidananda, but the sat aspect of that is what we are perceiving in the world outside, right? So when you see any object, as soon as you experience that this exists, that exists, everything exists. And basically Krishna is telling us that I exist. Krishna's existence is the proof, is what we are experiencing in the form of this existence, of the world outside. Of course, it requires a little bit understanding of the Shastram, right? So, when we are saying, we don't see Krishna, you know, generally people will say, we don't see God, like atheist people. They will say, we don't see God, where is your proof and all that, they are asking, right? So, what it is that, actually you're only seeing Krishna everywhere, but only thing is we don't have that awareness inside. Because we are not got that, we got conditioned in this way to think that what we see through the senses is the truth, first thing. And when you see through the senses the world, you are not able to see that, what is reality of that vastu, what you are seeing, right? Vastu, none of the vastu means these objects, what you are seeing, none of them has any existence permanently. So because they don't exist permanently, they cannot be the truth. But then why am I feeling that it is the truth? Because the Sachidananda Brahman is present in them, and due to its presence I am feeling that it exists. This is the way to understand. This is very fundamental in Vedantam. Vedavyasa Maharshi has banged this everywhere, throughout the Sudhis and Upadeshams, right? So, other things have an existence. We are not saying that it doesn't exist, as long as you are perceiving them through senses. But it doesn't have an existence of its own, independent, nirapeksha. Yeah. We cannot say that it exists forever, because they will die one day, they will change its nature, right? So, because the sat aspect of the Sachidanandam is present in them, therefore we feel that they exist. The existence feeling is coming from the Sat aspect of the Satchitananda. As he said before, Astibhadi Priyam, Satchitanandam, Namam Rupam. This is a creation. Out of the Namarupam is coming from Maya, Satchitanandam is coming from Krishna. So, when you are seeing through senses, what you are seeing is only the Namarupam, not the Satchitanandam. Satchitanandam is coming from Krishna, right? So, what you experience through the senses, they don't have a life of its own, yeah? And things which doesn't have very much like dead wood or dead matter, tamogunam is very strong in them. And through tamogunam, only the sat aspect will come out. Chitta and anandam cannot come out through tamogunam. You know how the gunams are connected with the creation and Krishna. Gunams are Maya. And Maya is with Krishna together now. Satchidananda Brahman with Maya. So when you look at the creation, all the objects in the world is in mostly tamogunam it is, isn't it? Because there is no life in them. Which means that it is tamogunam mostly. And in tamogunam, only sat aspect can come out. Chitta and anandam cannot come through tamogunam, right? So, in spite of all that, when you look at it, when you see a live person, now look at this way, a person who is living, you look at him and you look at the dead object, any object for that matter, you will see there that the presence of Jiva in him makes a huge difference. Who is Jiva at the end? It's Krishna's reflection in this subtle body, isn't it? So, if you see a person with a life in him, when you see somebody like that, we immediately become very conscious of that person's existence more than an object. It's an object, you take it, you leave it like that. But if a person is present, presence of the conscious, we become more conscious of the person's presence more than the object within our own bodham, in awareness, right? And but that jiva in him cannot be known through senses, the jiva, right? We are inside that body, we are sitting in a body, right? And at the same time, jiva cannot be sensed through senses. Whereas an object can be sensed through the senses, body can be sensed through the senses. But the jiva inside us cannot be sensed through the senses. So, body is jadam, like any object, the same matter compiled in a different form, right? So, when you are meeting a person, if you are only seeing the body, then the senses will pick up that form, right? But the chaitanyam, it won't pick up. Senses cannot pick up when you meet a person. The chaitanyam or the life in that person, you cannot pick it up. What you are picking up is the name and the form, right? So, what it is saying to us is, with the presence of that body that is being experienced inside, is that tamogunam in that person, through that, the sat aspect of the jiva is coming out to us. That is how you notice a person inside. Suppose I am relating with someone in some form, whatever it may be, right? The sadbhavam of the jiva is coming through the tamogunam of that jiva's coverage, which is the body. It is through that tamogunam it's coming out to me. And that is how I experience that jiva inside. That's the only way I can know him. You understand what I'm saying? You see, tamogunam is the body. Body is the tamogunam. And tamogunam can only sense sat aspect, not chit or anandam. Jiva is inside that body, is present inside. Jiva is existence, right? But jiva cannot be sensed by me outside of its presence. The only way I can sense him is when it comes through that tamogunam. So once it comes through tamogunam, only the sat aspect you will know, nothing else. Chit aspect and anandam aspect will not be perceived by me. If you think about it, you will get it what I am saying. So, Sachidanandam is present in the body. In everything there is Sachidanandam, but more or less in everything, his presence is through Satta. Satta aspect, right? That means whenever you see anything, it exists, it exists, it exists. This feeling, you can see it's coming from that Sat aspect of Krishna. Krishna is Sachidanandam, but that Sat aspect is what you are continuously experiencing in life, day in and day out. Is it not? Yeah, this is Sat aspect of it, right? So, now, then senses and the mind and the intelligence, when they also come into play, then we get to know that there is a sense object to be, that's how we relate with this world, isn't it? So, like we mentioned before, that the buddhi, senses make contact with the sense object. Buddhi goes after that. Buddhi become that form, whatever it is seeing. And that is called buddhivrti. Buddhivrti, right? And it brings it in. And then Andaryami from inside enters into the mind and gives us the experience of that, what buddhi has brought it inside. Manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. So, initially, buddhi goes with the sense objects, with the senses. Picks up the, brings it in. In order to do that, Andaryami has to go into buddhi, Andaryami has to go into the senses as well. So, Andaryami's help, buddhi and the senses work together and they bring the object inside. That's first stage. This is all happening continuously in everybody, all the time. Once it is brought inside, we still haven't got it. You say you can got it only when you have felt it in your mind. And that is done when the Andaryami goes in again into the subtle body and what buddhi has brought it in is given the experience to the mind. And that's why when you say, I have experienced it, something. That's how this experience happening, right? So, so then it is then that you say, oh, I know him, or I know this, I know that, about anything. When you say, if I see a car, oh, I know this car, it's a BMW or it's a Porsche or whatever it is. You say, you're able to say that, because Andaryami inside has buddhi, what buddhi has brought inside has made that experience by ourselves, and then you are able to declare it to the world that you know that, right? And when you say that oh, I know it, that is the time this chit aspect is coming in. The chit shakti. Its experience inside is what you are declaring to the world. That when you have experienced something, that's the chit shakti, right? So that is what chit is doing. And and this knowledge that I know something, or that exists and it's true, it is happening in the buddhi. It is happening in the buddhi. So through that, you can see that how Andaryami from inside has gone to the subtle body and operating the subtle body by its presence, right? That is how the chit is coming out. So here, this chit bhava or chaitanyam is present when it is experienced inside. So, sat aspect you have understood earlier, that through senses it goes, and antaryami with the senses makes you aware of its existence. That is the sat aspect. But when it has come inside the subtle body, and then it, the mind is saying that I know it, I know what it is, I have a knowledge of it. That means you have become aware of it. That awareness is the chit aspect, right? So, so buddhi has a lot of things to do here in this, right? Buddhi is nothing but a transformation of rajoguna. Out of the three guna, right? Buddhi is a transformation of rajoguna, right? It is through rajogunam that buddhi operates always. Buddhi operates through rajogunam. Yeah? So when the antaryami inside, when it is allowing these things to happen, it operates through rajogunam, which is buddhi. And only buddhi can do that when antaryami supports buddhi. So, when antaryami supports buddhi, only then you will get to know about an object. Otherwise not. Only when antaryami supports the buddhi, you will get to know the existence of an object. Right? And as soon as you become aware of an existence of an object, immediately you should know that antaryami has gone into buddhi. That is why I became aware of its existence, right? And then when the buddhi is go inside and when the antaryami went inside and supported the buddhi, immediately the next thing that comes in is the chit. Right? This, if you think, you can see how satta and chitta are working through buddhi and mind and with the antaryami from inside. Antaryami enters into buddhi and the satta aspect you get to know. Antaryami enters into the mind and you get to know the chitta aspect of it. You see, they are all connected to each other. And this is going on continuously in all of us. But we are not aware of any of these things. We just go along with whatever it is happening, right? But if you have good upasana, good sadhana inside, and with that, if your mind becomes a lot of sattugunam inside, or in other words, when the subtle body is full of sattugunam, then only you will know the third one, anandam. Till then, you won't know anandam. You see, through satya you can accept, you can get to know. Chitta also you can get to know. If you understand this system, how it works, right? But anandam you won't. In order that anandam to experience, by intense sadhana and sattugunam has built up a lot to a very higher degree, or in other words, if sattugunam is controlling your subtle body, in that case you will know what anandam means. That's all you can say about that. Yeah? Anandam, because anandam comes from directly from the antaryami, right? In tamogunam, you get the sadbhavam. In rajogunam, you get the chidbhavam. And in the, when you do sadhana and sattugunam increases, then finally, you anandam also you get to know what it is. So, when we say these things, it's not just some crazy statements. It's all Rishi's experiences they are telling us, these things. It is there in the Upanishads, all these things. But in Bhagavatam, it is spoken in a little different way. Little different way. Puranams, when you study Puranam, you have to always bear this in mind. Puranam is not a history. Neither Puranam is a perfect literature in many ways. Yeah, Puranams has got its own way of saying things. And that's why when you study Puranams, you can get easily confused. A lot. Confusion can happen. For example, in one Puranam, one story, Krishna's pastime will be spoken in one way. In another Puranam, the same pastime will be spoken in another way. I can give you many examples for that. That Krishna's Govardhana Leela, if you take. Krishna is holding the Govardhanam, and Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, Gopis, they all come, and they are taking shelter underneath the Govardhana Hill, which is lifting with his finger, isn't it? So in Bhagavatam, it is spoken like that. In another Puranam, it's spoken differently. There it says, Krishna has taken all of them into a cave and closed the cave so that they won't be affected by the rain, heavy rain. So if you read these two, normal person's mind, he will get affected, he will start thinking that which one is true, they will ask first question. It's not, they'll be the first question to ask, which one is true? And you don't know what the truth is. And actually it's not important either. Important thing is Krishna has protected them. That's what's more important. Whether it was done through the caves or underneath the Govardhana Hill, that is insignificant. But to get that understanding of reading Puranam in that way, you have to be grounded on the Upanishads. Upanishads knowledge is what's coming through Bhagavatam. That is why at the end of the Bhagavatam, Sudha Goswami said that Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyade. That's a verse, isn't it? Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyade. And there's another verse again, he's saying that last chapter, in the 13th chapter, it says there. Brahma Maigatva Lakshanam Kaivalyega Prayojanam, he's saying there, isn't it? So Sri Bhagavatam Ishyade Vastu Advidiyam Tannishtam Kaivalyega Prayojanam. In other words, what he's saying is that the Vedanta Saram, essence of Vedantam, which means Upanishads, is what is spoken in the Bhagavatam. And you can see that. And next verse also, Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Sri Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadrasal Amrita Truptasya Na Anyatrasyal Radhi Kochil. The two verses, one after the other. Yeah. So the idea behind all these things is is to tell us that the knowledge is in the Upanishads, but that is a foundation of Sanatana Dharma, Upanishads, but it is spoken through the Bhagavatam for the others to understand it, to help us to understand. So that should be borne in mind when you are reading all these things. And even in the first verse, you will see in that 13th chapter, Yam Brahma Varuna Indra Rudra Marudas Svanvandi Divyai Saver Vedai Sangapade Kramam Aupanishadair Gayandiyam Samagaha. That Aupanishadam, it is Aupanishadam. Aupanishadam means it is from Upanishads. It has come. It has come from Upanishads. So, keeping all this in the perspective, you should think like this, that Krishna is present everywhere in everything. That is Upanishad's conclusions, right? And that means Satchitanandam. Satchitanandam is Krishna. We call Krishna based on the form, but actually it is Satchitanandam. He is present everywhere, right? And that is what he is pounding that, Prahlada, in the next words. See? Paravareshu Bhudeshu Brahmandasavaradishu Baudigeshu Vikareshu Bhudeshu the Mahalsucha Guneshu Gunasamyeja Gunavidigare Tatha Egam Evam Paro Atma Bhagavan Ishiro Avyaya Prategalma Surubena Drishirubena Jaswayam Vyapya Vyapaka Nardesho Anirdesho Vigalpidaha Kevala and Bhavananda Suruba Parameshara Maya Andarhideshwarya Iyare Gunasargaya Tasmal Sarveshu Bhudeshu Dayam Kurita Sauhridam
Asuram bhava unmecha eya tushadi atokshaja. These five verses, we discuss this when we discuss seventh canto. If you want to revisit those verses and see what we talked there. So, what he is saying is that paravareshu bhudeshu brahmandastavaradishu. He is saying in all living entities Krishna is present. From Lord Brahma onwards right up to the lowest one, including the world. Stavaradishu. Stavara means all this world. Krishna is present in all this. Yeah. Now, how you prove this to the world, that is very difficult. You have to first accept this, what Shastram is saying. This is the way you study Shastram. First you accept what Shastram is saying. And then go deeper into it. And then you will understand it, what makes sense also. That the that whether there is life or not, Krishna is present there, right? Because he is present in all the five material elements. If he is present in all the five material elements, everything is made of material elements, so he should be present in everything, right? And that's what he's saying. Bhudeshwada Mahalsuja, all the five material elements, right? Then the three modes of nature, and it's a stable condition, Samyam Avastha, when it is not disturbed. And then when they start changing into Mahatattvam, Ahamtattvam in that way, in everything he is present. He is present, right? And that absolute truth, who is present in everything, whom we address as Brahman or Paramatma or Ishvara or Bhagavan, it's all spoken for different reasons, by different names, right? But yes, Upanishad says, Egam Sadvipra Bahudha Vadandi. One vastu is pure consciousness. We are addressing that under different names, right? Truth is only one. There is not many, right? So, when you say Brahman, it means it covers everything in the creation, right? That is Brahman. And in everyone, in every jiva present inside, as cause of our existence, right? Because Antaryami present inside, Krishna is present in all of us. And therefore we are jivas existing, right? And so Brahman means one who is present in everything. One who keeps everything together, in other words, right? And Atma is present inside us as the... Now, how these different names have come? Ishvara, Antaryami, Pratyagatma, Sutratma, Brahmam. For different reasons they have given that terminology, right? So, Brahmam means he is the same. It is one and the same thing. But sometimes he is addressed as Brahma. Sometimes he is addressed as Pratyagatma Chaitanyam. So, and then, look at the different roles he is playing inside us, right? On the one hand, he is Antaryami. But even though he is Antaryami, he is a Nitya Drashtava. Drashta means, by his presence inside, all our senses, body, mind, intelligence and senses of knowledge, senses of action, all of them is functioning because of his presence inside, right? And therefore, he is the one who is whose presence he is what we call as Nitya Drashtava. That means if he is not there, you won't feel the presence of any of these things, buddhi, mind, intelligence or senses or anything. You're only feeling their presence because of the presence of Antaryami inside. That's why it's called Nitya Drashtava, eternally, right? So, and that's what we call as the soul. Krishna inside us, every one of us, right? So, this Brahman or Antaryami who is inside us,
whose presence inside us is allowing us to experience this world through our mind, intelligence and senses. He inside us is allowing us to experience this world. Otherwise you won't experience this world. So, and because he is doing that for us, he is very dear to all of us more than anything else. Because without his help, you won't know anything of the existence of this world itself. So that is why the first obligation for the jiva is towards the Antaryami. Because without Antaryami, jiva has no existence of its own. And jiva also won't experience the world without the Antaryami. Is it not? You can see the way it works, right? So, because it is like that, jiva has only one option, to be dependent on Antaryami. There is no other way. Antaryami's presence, because Antaryami is inside, the jiva has got its existence. Because its reflection in the ahankaram is jiva. Antaryami's reflection in the ahankaram is jiva. And similarly, because Antaryami is there, this so-called jiva is able to experience this world, have all the relationships with people, and enjoy and suffer, and all things, whatever jiva is feeling here, is all because of Antaryami inside. So, therefore, but everything what jiva is going through is constantly monitored by the Antaryami. Antaryami is seeing everything what we are doing, what we are, what's happening to us, and therefore it's called Nitya Drashtava. Constantly monitoring and constantly observing everything, right? So when that, actually it is Brahmam, Sachidananda Brahmam it is, right? Antaryami is what? Sachidananda Brahmam. And when it is present inside us, doing all these things, he is called Pratyagalma Chaitanyam. Pratyagalma Chaitanyam. Right? Then, when the same Chaitanyam, same power, Antaryami, when it is doing the function of creation, maintenance and dissolution and all that, he is addressed as Ishvara. You see? Chaitanyam is one. But Chaitanyam in the role of Antaryami, he is a Nitya Drashtava. Pratyagalpa Chaitanyam he is. That means he is monitoring the function of the jiva in doing different things and allowing the jiva to do everything what it wants to do through the five senses. Experience this world and form its own conclusions about it. And he remains as a witness to everything what the jiva is doing. You know that famous Upanishad's story of the two birds. The same thing. That's the relationship between jiva and the Ishvara. So, Antaryami. So, Antaryami is, when he does that role, he is called Pratyagalpa Chaitanyam. But same Chaitanyam, when it is doing creation, maintenance and dissolution, it's called Ishvara. So, that is why sometimes they will switch one to another. Like Krishna used the title Ishvara in the Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it? Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtari. What he was trying to say to us is, Arjuna, it is the same Antaryami who is inside you as Ishvara. And so when he is doing this, that means when creation, maintenance and dissolution, when that happens, that means he is playing, this is play, Leela it is, isn't it? These three are considered to be Krishna's Leela. When he does that, Maya is present in that. So, when he is playing with Maya like that, he is called Ishvara. So, this if you have to sit and quietly think, and then you will understand why Shastra means like this. This is their way of saying things. We just have to understand that way. We won't be able to change it in our own way to make it. We have to know their way. They are not going to change our way. We have to become their way. We have to learn it. Their way is like this. Chaitanyam is one. So that Chaitanyam never put things in boxes and say that why you are saying like this, you said like that before. No, not like that. Everything is Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam when it is present inside us, Nitya Drashtava, he is Pratyagalpa Chaitanyam. That means interaction of the senses with the world outside, and all that activities going on with the subtle body and the senses, monitored constantly by the Antaryami, but Antaryami has no involvement in anything. Happiness and distress is all for the Jiva. But Antaryami Chaitanyam, let's call it Chaitanyam, that Chaitanyam present inside is called Pratyagalpa Chaitanyam. Then, when that Pratyagalpa Chaitanyam, when that is monitoring our activities, and when results have to be given to you for all your results of your activities, right? So, that means the results of our own different things, what we do as Jiva, and you are expecting the results. At that time, that Chaitanyam is also addressed as Ishvara. Apart from, because it goes as a part of creation process then. Yeah. So that is why he is addressed as Ishvara at that time. That is why Krishna used the word Ishvara in the Bhagavad Gita. Because he is a karma bharadadava at that time. Right? So Ishvara means this big role Ishvara has got. But Ishvara is with Maya. Same Brahma Chaitanyam, Sachidananda Brahma, with Maya is Ishvara. So, in that situation, as Ishvara, he conducts creation, maintenance, dissolution, Srishti Samharam. Then he is present inside us and give the results of our karma, karma bhala dadava, right? And also he is controlling us inside. He is the controller of everything. He controls us completely from inside. And Jiva at that time knows that to understand this controlling power of Ishvara, you have to look at your own life and you see how Ishvara has controlled you all the time. Ishvara didn't give you any freedom. What Ishvara has done was, according to our Prarabdham, he put us into certain situations in life so that you go through the Prarabdham. And that is how all these relationships have come to us, around us, friends, family, and society, and all these things. So very higher laws are working behind it, which we are not conscious of. We are only seeing everything what we see through the eyes, and on that basis you are making decisions. But bigger decisions are made on a much higher level. So therefore he is saying here that when he is acting like this, behind us as a controller of every jiva and controlling us, and he is addressed as Ishvara. That is why this word Ishvara, you must have heard. You must have heard this word Ishvara, we are saying all the time. And in English we translate as controller, isn't it? The translation of Ishvara. Supreme controller, we say. But we don't understand the way it is done. That's the problem. If you look into Bhagavad Gita's translation, English translation, you will find he is called Ishvara because he is the supreme controller. What does that supreme controller mean? Supreme controller means that he is responsible for our function in this world, the way we are working, living in this world. Every aspect of our life is controlled by him, based on our prarabdham, based on our vasanas, and the prarabdham what we have to get through our lifespan, he has to control it. And that is what Krishna is saying to us in the Bhagavad Gita also. Ishvara sarva bhudanam pradeshe arjuna tishtadi. And you see the next two lines. Brahmayan sarva bhudani yantrarutani mayaya. Maya and Ishvara together running our life. Yeah, just like we sit on that yantram. The giant wheel. You sit there and it starts running, isn't it? You don't have any control over it. It's running the wheel and you go along with the running, yeah, with the wheel. That's all you have the freedom to do. Yeah. So that's what it is. Yeah. So that is why Krishna used that word. Yantrarudhani Maya. He says Maya and Ishvara together is running the show. You are just one jiva in that process. Don't think anything more than that. He said, therefore surrender. He says, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata. So Pratyagatma, Ishvara, Antaryami, they are all not different. They are one and the same. Pratyagatma, Ishvara, Antaryami, they are all one and the same. Yeah? And only thing is this, that when Ishvara, when we say, there is the presence of, there is a presence of Maya. The moment you say Ishvara, there is a presence of Maya in that. Whereas when you say Brahman, Brahman, there is no Maya. There is no Maya. But moment you become, Brahman becomes Ishvara, Maya is present in that. So, Brahman, when it has joined Maya, is called Ishvara. Right? So, and that Ishvara is responsible for this show of creation, maintenance and dissolution. Right? So, whether it is Brahman, whether it is Antaryami, Atma, or whether it is Ishvara, it's all Chaitanyam, it is. It's all Chaitanyam, right? And it is purely, pure Satchidananda Brahmam. That is it. That is the reality. That is what Prahlada has explained in those five verses. They are very important verses. Prahlada spoke this, Atmatvam Siddhatvam. Two things he mentioned in the 19th verse, isn't it? Atmatvat Sarvabhodanam Siddhatvali ha Sarvada. So those Atmatvam and Siddhatvam, to explain that, Prahlada spoke the five verses after that, and to make us aware what soul means, what Atma means, what Chaitanya means. Until you understand all these things, you won't get to know the further things what is spoken in the Bharatopadesham, Rishabhopadesham, or in the Uddhavopadesham, all the Kapilopadesham. If you want to understand all that, this background is required. What Prahlada has spoken here. That's the way to understand Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is not a storybook. Bhagavatam is very deep philosophy, Upanishad philosophy spoken by the devotees. Right? So, that is where it is. Now, this I've mentioned this because some things I forgot to mention at the time when we had to talk about it. Let's go back to the where we stopped before. That is that 12th chapter where we were talking about Mohini's pastimes with the Asura, right? Yeah. So, in the 12th chapter, the 5th verse, we were talking about it. We mentioned there also that the this Pratyagatma Chaitanyam is present, and it says Adyandavasa Yan Madhyam Idam Anyam Aham Bahi. Look at the words, how it is formed. Adyam Andam Madhyam Idam Anyam Idam Anya Aham Bahi. Yeah, Idam Aham. This is Lord Mahadeva glorifying Narayana. Mahadeva is glorifying Narayana. Right. So, Adhyam Madhyam Mandam. You don't have any beginning, you don't have the middle, you don't have an end. He's talking to Narayana now. Right. Because Narayana is pure Satchidananda. And pure Satchidanandam then does not have a birth or existence or its death. It doesn't happen. It exists all the time. Right? It does not affect him at all. So, he is pure Satchidananda Brahman, Paramatma Swarupam, is you, he says. And in you, these things happen. Which one? Creation, maintenance and dissolution. Right? So, in reality, you don't have a beginning or a middle or an end. So, in creation, you are present here as the drishtava drishya. Actually only he exists. But the moment creation comes, drishtava drishyam comes. You remember this in the fifth canto, we discussed this. It's a very complex thing, in the sense that seer and the seen, when did that happen? That is called a drishtava drishyam. Remember in the fifth canto, drashtu drishyayoho, it says about Sangarshana Murti. So Sangarshana Murti is Ahangaram. Ahangaram's predominating deity is Sangarshana Murti, Balaram, Sangarshana Murti, Adhishesha. They are the forms of that. So Sangarshana Murti, Ahangaram is born, Drashtava Drishyam is born with that. Before that, there is no Drashtava Drishyam. Drashtava Drishyam, you understand, seer and the seen. Now, I am seeing, something else is seen. Seer object, seen the object, seer is the person who is seeing it. So this drashtava drishyam, this bifurcation happened only when Sangarshana Murti entered into Ahangaram and the jiva was born, and that's what he is saying here. Aham, idam, idam, aham, inside, outside. All these two breaking up has happened at this time, he is saying here, that the in creation it is idam. The idam means drishyam. And in the inside it is drashtava, which is ahangaram inside. Or similarly you can say bhogyam, bhoktava. Enjoyer and the enjoyed. Bhogyam is the enjoyed. Bhoktava is the enjoyer. Right? In this way, one thing has broken up into two. You may find this interesting because you remember when male and female forms were created, right? How did that happen? Lord Brahma turned into two and said Swayambhuva Manu and Shadarupa. In the same way, this is breaking up. Seer and the seen. That means somebody is seeing and something is seen. This way that bifurcation happened. That's what he's talking about. He's saying here, Adyandavasa yan madhyam, idam anya aham bahi, edo avyasa naidani sal satyam brahmajit bhavan. But this is not the truth, he is saying. Mahadev is saying, this is not the truth. This broken condition. The truth is, your real existence, pure consciousness, satyam, that's you. And you alone is the truth. Nothing else is the truth. You have broken up in this way due to ahangaram, Sangarshana Murti's entry into ahangaram. And that's how, you remember in the fifth canto, in last chapter, I think, drashtu drishyayoho, it says, drashtava drishyam happened at a certain stage in the creation. And that is how this breakup happened, right? So, drashtava, drishyam, ahangaram, idam, aham, and bhokta, bhogyam. This is a breakup. That's what it is, right? It's all you, he says. Actually, you exist, but you broke up like this, in this way. Bhoktava, bhogyam. Enjoyer and the enjoyed. Then aham, idam. Me and you, in that way. Or drashtava, drishyam. All these things, right? So that means this has happened due to maya. Without maya, this cannot happen. So, and it is that thing that is making us today, even now, that this world we are thinking is separate from us. You see that? How we feel, world is there, I am there. I am seeing the world. Where did this relationship coming from? This is coming from this, right? So, once this has happened, it means avidya maya has caught us. We are in the grip of avidya maya, right? So, because of this avidya maya only, we are not able to realize who we are. Our actual surupam, we are not able to find because of this avidya maya, right? And that's why if hundreds of times if somebody tells us that we are also Sachidanandam, we won't accept it. Because that's how we are now, our unfortunate condition, right? And similarly, we are not able to recognize that we are Sachidanandam. In the same way, when Shastram is saying to us that this whole world is Sachidanandam, we are not able to accept it either. Exactly like the way we cannot accept ourselves. Our identity is Sachidanandam. Shastram is saying, isn't it? We are also Sachidanandam. Shastram is telling us, but we are not able to accept it. In the same way, Bhagavatam is saying, this creation is also Sachidanandam, but we are not able to accept it. Exactly the same way, right? So, only thing is about this world, what we know, it's made of so many objects, right? And similarly, about us, what we know, all I know is I am a personality. Both are false. To think that I am a personality is a false thing. Equally false it is to think that this world is full of objects. Both are coming from avidya maya. So you can see the impact of avidya maya on us. If you think deeply all these things, it will make more sense to you. If you don't think about it, then you won't it will understand what Mahadev is saying about Narayana. Mahadev is saying to Narayana that actually you are the only reality. Sachidananda Brahma, that's you. But when you have broken up like this, Drashtava Drishyam, Idam Aham, and similarly Bhoktava Bhogyam, Avidya Maya has come in. When Avidya Maya comes in, immediately what it does to us is, every jiva thinks he is a person, and we get trapped by that. That's why the strong bodily identity that has come from Avidya Maya to us. Similarly, this world is also what this jiva will see, is nothing but a lot of objects here. Billions and billions of different types of objects. And all that is a product of Avidya Maya, and due to that, he will not be able to see it as Sachidanandam. We are Sachidanandam, world is also Sachidanandam. But now, under the influence of Avidya Maya, we have become personalities, Vyaktitvabhimanam, personalities, and the world has become Namarupam. We cannot see Sachidanandam. This is the main message in Mahadev's prayers. Very deep knowledge it is, understanding it is. Mahadev is speaking on a very highest level. So you can see that, the problem, right? So, so this, you can see what we have to become free from. This, we are all individuals, jivas. We have to come out of that. Because this jivatvam, how long? As long as Sandaryami is there, right? So, this is all avidya's maya vilasam. Avidya maya's vilasam, right? If this avidya goes away from us, through sadhana, then you will know that you are Sachidanandam, the world is also Sachidanandam, right? And, so, and this problem we have now, to see this creation as separately from Krishna, separately from Sachidananda Brahman. And it is due to that that we became these individuals, Ektitva Abhimanam, has happened, right? So, this whole thing, you can summarize it like this, that Sachidananda Brahman, Narayana is addressed to, you can see that. First of all, Mahadev said, Deva Deva, Jagad Vyabin, Jagadisha, Jagannayam, to give us a background of Narayana, who it is, right? Sarvesham Abhi Bhavanam, Tvam Alma, Heru, Ishwara. Everything is you, nothing else exists except you. Then he said, Adyandavase Yenmadhyam Idam Anyadaham Bahi, Yado Avesa Nidani Tal Satyam Brahmajit Bhavan. After saying all these things, that it has broken up like this, Aham Idam, and similarly, Bhoktava Bhogyam, and similarly, Drashtava Drishyam, these three breaking up. Same thing, spoken in three different ways, that's all. That this separation has happened, break, bifurcation, you can say, in the truth. Chaitanyam broke up like this too. So after it has broken up, what happened was immediate effect. The breaking up is due to Avidya Maya. And the impact of that on the jiva is, jiva identifies with the body, one side. Even though jiva is Sachidanandam, jiva cannot see it anymore, Sachidanandam. Jiva can only know it as a personality. Vyaktitvam, bodham, identity has come as an individual very strongly in all of us, isn't it? We all feel very strongly about it, that we are a person. And where did this come from? That come from that avidya maya. And similarly, the world is also Sachidanandam, but we are not experiencing that. We are feeling it as the maya vilasam, which is namarupa. Maya's part we are seeing. So avidya maya's strong grip on us is like this, right? And and so it is at this stage when we say that Brahman created all these things, Ishvara created all these things, Srishti, Sthiti, maintenance. We are saying all these things based on in this level only. That means in our present state, when everything is broken up. It is from that state you are talking about it, all these things, right? So that means we are now a personality identifying with the body, and we see all these diversities in the creation, right? Keeping that into account, that we are seeing all these things, right? But therefore, it is not the truth. The truth is, everything is one, not many. The many is a broken up conditions, right? So, from absolute platform, you have to remember from which plane you are looking at things. From absolute platform, if you look at, there is only Chaitanyam here, pure consciousness. That is Brahman. Pure Sachidananda Brahman alone exists. Only Krishna exists. Right? From the platform of paramarthika level, absolute platform. But when you come down one level in the broken condition like this, that is when you are saying that Krishna is the creator, Krishna is the maintainer, Krishna is the destroyer. God created this, God maintains it, and God destroys it at the end and all. We talk about it. It is in this level. In this level. Look at this verse. Adhyanda vasayan madhyam anyam. These verses are pregnant with a lot of Upanishads knowledge packed into it, right? So when you start reading them, initially you may have to read many, many, many times, and every time you have to look at the word, why it has been used in that way, right? So, adhyanda vasayan madhyam idam anyadaham bahi. Yado avyasa naidani tal satyam brahmajit bhavan. Yeah. So then Lord Shiva said, Mahadev said to Narayana, that the pramana, on what basis are you saying all these things? Lord Shiva says that people who know the truth, referring to the sages, to the rishis, they have already understood this secret of this Maya Vilasam, Maya's work, what Maya is doing. And therefore, they don't come to you anymore praying for their welfare or for their benefit. Normally, in spiritual life, most of the people, what do? When we don't know any philosophy and philosophical understanding, most of the people, what do? When they are in trouble, they go to Krishna and ask for help, isn't it? Praying for health, praying for wealth, praying for all other things. This is the average man's spiritual life is like that, based on that understanding. Rishis don't pray like us. Here we are all the time, you pray for me, I pray for you. And when I am dying, you tell the disciples, you pray for me. And disciples saying to other disciples, you pray for my guru. All kinds of things we do. This is on a very different level. If you imagine if Vasishtha and Vishwamitra are not doing this, they will never do such a thing. They are on a different level. That's why they are rishis and we are manishas. We are like this and they are like that because of these differences. When Saptogunam has increased in people to a very high degree, they won't be able to act like the way we are acting. So the rishis don't pray any of these things. As far as rishis are concerned, only the truth exists. Krishna has come as the truth. The best thing to do is to surrender to him without asking any questions. Just take his shelter and whatever he does, let him do it. That won't be acceptable to the average person. If you say that to him, he says, what do I get if I surrender to him? They will ask. The next question that will come will be like that. So you can see how religion in an average mind and how religion in a spiritual mind works differently. That spiritual culture is such a strong thing in people. When they have very high spiritual culture, they cannot think in terms of their own welfare and their own health and their own benefit, because they know the truth that his own very existence is false based on this bifurcation, what happened in the truth. So therefore Mahadev says to Narayana that great rishis, they do not look at any of these things. They have no interest in this world, either inside or outside. Iham param, that means either in this life or in the next life. Instead, they take your shelter completely, ashram. That's what they do. They take your shelter and leave everything to you, instead of worrying about the other things. Yeah? So that's what that verse is. Tavaiva charanam bhojam shreyas kama nirashisha visurjyo visurjyo bhaida sangam visurjyo bhaida sangam munaya samupasade. In one verse, Mahadev said to Narayana, this is how the rishis have acted, and it is on the basis of that I have made this statement. Verse 5, he said that. Then the question comes, if it is like that, that sixth verse, right? Rishis wants to become free from this avidya maya, which has caused this problem, right? And so therefore they took complete shelter of Krishna and they engage in bhakti, upasana, bhakti, upasana, right? So, iham param, these things has, what happens is, iham param, once it comes, then vishayasakti will come there. These are the next level of falling down. That once I have accepted me as a separate from the rest, immediately dehasakti increases and I'll be looking for how deham can be happy. Sense gratification, in other words, right? But what they're saying here is that shreyas kama nirashisha. Nirashisha, they, first of all, they gave up all kama. Not forcefully, knowing this, that this attachment to the body is causing the desire for sense gratification. Body is a avidya vilasam it is, right? Because of the body, I have identification with it. You see, original tattvam is Narayana, Krishna. Tattvam is Krishna. But when, due to the presence of avidya maya, this bifurcation happened, as Vyakti, individual, and the world separately. Vyakti, individual, and the world separately existing. This feeling is strong in everybody, isn't it? I live here, but the world is there. I have to deal with the world, we say. Why do we say like that? Because we feel we are separate from the world. Actually, we are part of this world and we are all one. But unfortunately, this breakup has happened, and therefore this fear has come to us about our dealing with the world, right? So, what he is saying here is that this identification with the body, as soon as it started, then we started thinking, this is all avidya maya. We started thinking that if I have to get happiness, I have to get it through the body only. Body is the only media through which I can get happiness. This has affected me. And therefore what happened? I look for sense gratification. But the rishis who knows this science well, first thing what they did was they shut the whole thing down. And therefore nirashisha, no interest in cultivating the desires of the body. They gave it up. And that is why only in Sanatana Dharma, because of this knowledge, it is spoken so strongly to withdraw from sense enjoyment. Others don't. Others encourage it because they don't have that deeper vision, what the rishis have got. Rishis are telling us that because this identification with the body has started, therefore you have a problem. Due to identification, you got into this misunderstanding that you can only be happy through the body. And once that conviction has come, then I am looking for sense gratification. So therefore, with their knowledge, they taught us this one thing. Withdraw the senses. Don't identify with the body. Bring back all your senses out. They went to the forest for this reason. Because if you live among materialists, it's a problem. So therefore they felt that the best place to live in the is in the forest. Krishna also says the same thing, isn't it? Vanam tu satyo vasam. If you live in the forest, you are in satugunam, Krishna is saying. Gramam rajasam uchyate. If you live among the villages and towns and all, you are in the rajogunam, it is. So in order to develop that satugunam, they went to forest. They didn't go to forest just to see the rivers and the mountains and all that. That was not the idea behind it. The idea was, they wanted to withdraw from materialistic people. Because their association is not helping. It's rajogunam it is. So therefore they went to forest, right? So they have taveva charanam bhojam, shreyas kama nirashisha. Nirashisha means there is no desire for enjoying anything. And shreyas kama, they wanted to do the right thing for them. And in that way, they became from avidya to a large degree, they managed to escape that way, right? So, those rishis who wants freedom from the from this material existence, they take your shelter and engage in your service. Said, and it is on their authority I am saying this. Mahadev said this to Narayana. You know, Mahadev went there to see Mohini's form. And this conversation leads eventually, Mahadev wants to see Mohini, what that form is. And then he shows to him. So then the question comes, this is Sridhara Swami's detailed analysis of this whole thing. He's saying that if you are pure Shuddha Brahman, then Brahman cannot be affected by this bhakti and all that. How can bhakti, Brahman is totally independent. How is that affected? The answer for that why do they do that? That's the next verse, seventh verse. Look at the seventh verse. Tum brahma purnam amrutam vigunam vishogam anandam matram avigaram ananyadanyat vishvasya hetrudayasthiti samyamanam atmeshwarasya tadapekshadayanapekshaah. Tum brahma purnam amrutam vigunam vishogam anandam matram avigaram ananyadanyat vishvasya hetrudayasthiti samyamanam atmeshwarasya tadapekshadayanapekshaah. This is a big verse in the sense that if I am Brahma, this is the way Shyagu Brahmarshi is saying this, is it looks as though Narayana is asking this question to Mahadeva. You are saying to me, I am Brahma. Brahma means I have no connection anywhere with anything, no sangam, asangam, right? And I have no interest in anything, in the sense that pure Chaitanyam is beyond all these things. Isn't it? These are all vigaram, changes that happens. And my nature is like this, Brahma. And what is the point in performing upasana? What benefit do you get from that? Then Mahadev is saying, even though it is like that, you are not Udasinan. Even though you are Brahman, you are not Udasinan. Udasin means because Vishvasya Hetu Rudayasthiti Samyamanam Atmeshwarasya Tadapekshataya Anapeksha. You are behind this creation. After all, you are behind it. With the help of Maya, you have created this. Maya is behind it, and you are, with Maya, is responsible for this creation. Srishti, Siddhi, Sangharam. Right? And in addition to that, you have gone into this creation, and all the jivas have come from you. And the jivas have got a gross body, subtle body, and causal body. Suvalam, Sushmam, Karanam. The three different types of bodies. They have got that. Who? The jivas have got all those three. Right? And when the jiva is engaged in karma, you are also responsible for giving them the results of their karma. isn't it? As we saw before, that Antaryami inside as Pratyagatma Chaitanyam as Ishvara, he is controlling our results of our actions. And he is involved in all that things. Lord Shiva is answering Narayana that question, that you say that you are pure Chaitanya Brahman. Then if it is like that, why should the Jiva take your shelter and engage in submitting themselves to you and taking your protection and shelter? Why should they do that? That was the question. Answer. Mahadev is answering that in this way. So you have to look into the whole thing to understand it, why it is spoken this way. What he is saying is that you are responsible for the creation. And once the creation has come, all the jivas have come. And when all the jivas have come, you are controlling them very remotely from inside as Antaryami, giving them the results of their activities and pulling them through their prarabdham in that way. And in the subtle body is the jiva, right? So, and this jiva nature, where did that come from? Due to that avidya inside, yeah? That means, this subtle body and our connection with the subtle body is not real actually. It is only when this avidya maya is present, we feel the existence of the subtle body and our connection with the subtle body. Avidya maya creates all these things, right? You know that these three bodies, none of them are real. Yeah, all due to maya only. When all three of them goes away, you are liberated. Then you are not in the bondage anymore. That happens in the Turiyam state, when all the three bodies withdraw. Okay? So, it is in that subtle body that Jiva is situated. And because there is a subtle body, that we feel an identification with the body, because of the subtle body. Identification is in the subtle body. Is it not? Because the Ahankaram is there, and that's where Jiva is, and that's where the identification is, right? And so, that avidya, what has affected us to identify with the subtle body, because of that avidya is called causal body. Do you understand? See, these three bodies, gross body is easy to understand. It's not difficult, because you are seeing it yourselves. Subtle body, you can explain it like this. Mind, intelligence, ahankaram, chittam. Four things in there. And that ahankaram is the jiva part, right? But the avidya that has infected that jiva to identify with the gross and subtle body is in the karana shariram, causal body. And that is what busy in the sushupti state. You see how it works? When you go into sushupti, it is this karana shariram that you are working with at that time. And that is how you know that avidya has not left yet. Only when you become free from all the three bodies, you go into the fourth state, what is called as the turiyam or samadhi state. When you become free from all the three bodies, and then you can say karana shariram, avidya has gone. So, that's what he's saying here. So, the subtle body is the karana shariram, is that avidya, right? But jiva goes from one body to another body, carrying the subtle body with it, right? So, but the personality, what you are talking about for a jiva, is the gross body. You know, when we present to somebody, we print our visiting card, or we have our all identifications, isn't it? Council tax bill, or your all is based on what? On this gross body, is it not? Gross body is behind everything. Electricity bill, gas bill, council tax bills, all the bills. So, all that paraphernalia we have created around us and for which we are busy with day in and day out. It's all based on this gross body. So, but that's why I'm saying here that their gross, subtle body and causal body has nothing to do. Completely busy with the gross body, right? So, the problem is subtle body, gross body, and the causal body, they are all the three, upadhi for the jiva. Jiva's fort. Jiva is living within this fort of these three bodies, gross, subtle, and causal bodies, right? So when that happens, personality is coming based on the gross body. The avidya that has come is the causal body. Ahankaram is in the subtle body. You see that? The three bodies? You have to see them separately. In personality, your personality is in the gross body. It is on the basis of the gross body the personality is operating all the time. Is it not? When you see somebody, it's not in your subtle body. You say, oh, he is my brother, or he is my sister, he is my wife, he is my husband. It's all based on the gross body only. That means personality is the one which is the gross body. The ahankaram or the jiva, feeling, willing, thinking, all other kinds of things, is all in the subtle body. And the avidya that has caused all these things is the causal body. So gross body, subtle body, causal body is based on this understanding, right? So the one in the subtle body, what it does is, it has got the problem with its, that's where all our, the bondage what causes us. That means that I'm doing a particular thing, I should get its result, and with my mind, with my words, with my senses of action, I'm engaging in karma, and so the results must come. All these thoughts are all in the subtle body. It's not in the gross body, it's not in the causal body, it's all in the subtle body, right? So Krishna, Antaryami inside, he has to deal with all the three bodies, gross body, subtle body, and the causal body. So what he does is that he knows it is in the subtle body, all this is happening, right? So, and he gets involved in it, that he controls them, creation, maintenance, and dissolution. And he also is giving the results to us. And we receive the results in the subtle body. When results come, when we get the salary check, where is all the impact of that? It's in the subtle body. If there is a good income, it is the subtle body that happiness is. Gross body is not involved in your salary or anything. Gross body just does the karma, finishes that. Subtle body is the place where all your reactions happening. And that means our interaction with Antaryami is through the subtle body. Most of the interaction is through the subtle body. So if Krishna wants to give us a good wage rise and make us happy, happiness will come through subtle body only. And so that's what he's saying here. Mahadev is saying, he's not saying all these things what I'm saying. What he's saying is, I'm making it a little bit more easier to understand, that you are not indifferent to the jiva, he's saying. You are not indifferent to the jiva, right? So therefore, I have every reason to think that if they take your shelter, you will protect them. Mahadev's argument to Narayana is like that. Because the question came up, why should they take your shelter? Because after all, you are Brahman. And Brahman doesn't have anything to do with the... Brahman is not affected by anything. He is indifferent to everything, isn't it? Because no change happens in you. But it is not like that. Mahadev is saying, these people, you have created this whole thing. And you have gone into them as Antaryami. And you are interacting with the jiva through the subtle body all the time. So... therefore, you are not indifferent to them. You are not indifferent to them, right? And he says, for example, he says that big kings, right, or very wealthy people, they give benefits to their staff depending on their relationships, isn't it? Very close staff will get away with a big increase. Not so close people, they won't get that much from them, right? So, Similarly, he's saying here that Krishna doesn't give results to anyone for expecting something from them, right? Why? Because he is, that's what he has used that word, anapeksha. See that? Alpmeshwarasya tadapekshataya anapeksha. Anapeksha means that he doesn't want anything from anyone. Krishna doesn't want anything from anybody, right? Only thing what he does is, depending on the karma what he is doing, he gets a result accordingly. But he is the one behind who decides who should get the result and what result should come to him. That authority is still in his hands. So we'll continue that tomorrow. What goes to Srila Prabhupada?
Jai Jai Mahaprabhu ki Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai